Well, God is so good, and it is. Days get so busy this time of the year. I know our calendars just fill up so quickly, but you know, I love Christmas. I really do. Christmas is very special, and you know, in the busyness of it all, you know, I love the gift giving. I love all of those little family traditions that you have, but in the middle of all of that, we really know what that reason is. And it is a beautiful reason that we celebrate that the God Almighty came to this earth as the most vulnerable thing that could be, to grow and then give his life for us. And what a reason to celebrate. One of my favorite songs is called What Mercy Did For Me. And just the first few words of that, it says, I was hopeless, I knew I was lost. Death and darkness were my only song. I needed someone to come rescue me, and mercy heard my plea. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave. You gave me a real love. I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away, and now I'm living like I'm forgiven. Our lives are changed. You came and set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. And that's what Christmas is about, isn't it? That mercy that came for each and every one of us. Thank you, if you don't mind putting that slide up. Have you ever been to a place where, like a church service, where you're sitting there and you hear a phone ring? And everybody tries to pretend that, you know, they can't really hear it. It's not really happening. And the person whose phone it is knows it's their phone, and they're just maybe pretending it's not their phone. But when you hear something ring, if you hear a phone ring, you straight away, you need to go and get it. It's hard to ignore that. It's very hard to ignore. Tonight I want to remind you that God is calling every single one of us tonight. So thank you, that next slide. In the Bible, God called a whole lot of people. This is just a little list. Moses, God said to him, I'm sending you. Abraham, God said, go from your country. Joshua, he told him, wherever you go. Elijah, he set out to follow. Isaiah, God told him, go and tell the people. Jeremiah, he said, you must go. Jesus said himself, I am sent. God told Paul, arise and go. And we know when Jesus called the disciples, straight away they got up and they went. And the end of Matthew tells us the Great Commission. Every single one of us, Jesus told us to go. He's calling us. He's telling us. That's our calling, to go. And what a privilege. It really is a privilege to be called by God. All of these people here, they saw amazing things happen. They were involved in spectacular events. You think of Moses and everything that Moses saw, the parting of the Red Sea. He walked through on dry ground. They were involved in all of these things. Moses led the Israelites out, and Joshua led them into the promised land. How amazing. What a privilege to be able to be a part of God's great plan. You know, it really is for every one of us. We can look at these people in the Bible. We can read about the amazing events. And we need to know that God maybe is shouting to you. Maybe he's just whispering to you that I'm sending you. Every one of us have a calling. So there's one thing that's common to all of these encounters with God. When God calls, in the examples that he's given here, he asks a person to leave the place where they are and to go somewhere else. And in all of these cases, it's actually geographical. They had to get up and go to another place. Tonight, in this just this little bit of time that we have, I just want to encourage you to simply ask God tonight, where would you have me be right now in my life? Obviously, it might not be a geographical change that, you know, God's calling all of us. But we all have that great commission that's been given to us to make disciples, to reach out to people. And God has called every single one of you in this room. And when you look around, there's quite a few people that we can say, imagine if we all got up tonight and did exactly what God is calling us to do. What great and mighty things we would see. So God's call in our life is great, and it is amazing that he would want each one of us to be a part of his plan. So can we hear? How can we hear God's calling in our lives? And some of these men he listed and different women in the Bible, they heard God with an audible voice. And I know some people who have heard God speaking to them in an audible voice. God may do that. You may hear his voice. He may speak through our pastor to us, or men or women of God, and you know, they could speak words from God into our life. Sometimes we just feel an inner nudging of the Holy Spirit to go somewhere or speak to somebody or do something. Please know, everyone here, that God wants to speak to us. When you have a relationship with someone, you communicate and you talk to each other, and God wants that. If you struggle to hear God's voice, if you're not sure, I encourage you to read God's word, to spend time in prayer, be full of his Holy Spirit. You know, these people in the Old Testament, they didn't have the full scripture that we have. They didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Yet they did these amazing things. So we have all we need, the word of God, his Holy Spirit living in us, and we can hear his voice. So go. When God speaks, it's usually something like, get up from where you are and go to the place I've positioned you to be. We know, we're talking about Moses, when he left Egypt the first time and he ended up getting married and settling in the plain of Midian. He had children, he had a new home, he was very comfortable. You know, he was going about his daily life, and I'm sure life was much more comfortable for him than it was previously. He had settled in his life and he was enjoying his life. But what happened? God called him in a mighty way. God spoke to him in the burning bush, and God called him. We have to get up from our comfort, our comfortable place sometimes when God calls us. And often that's not the easiest thing to do. You know, we all know when we're comfortable, when finally we get to that place where we can just sit and rest, Sister Susan, just rest. It's hard when you get a call for somebody, you know, somebody calling or somebody needing you. We don't like to get up out of our comfort. It's difficult. It's not easy. It's a challenge to get up and go. We like our comfort. We like the people that we enjoy being around. We like our own circle of friends. We like our own work colleagues that we get on with. That's comfortable for us. But there is a challenge in God's calling. Often when God calls us, he'll push us to our limits and sometimes beyond our comfort zone. I know definitely that God has pushed me out of my comfort zone. One thing I've learned is that when you do step out of that little, if you think of, you know, yourself standing in a little circle that is your comfort zone with everything that feels good and comfortable for you and not, you know, you don't feel threatened or anything, that's safety. But if you step out of that comfort zone, it doesn't feel comfortable. It feels very uncomfortable. But if you continue to do that, what happens? Your comfort zone then grows, doesn't it? And that next circle then becomes your comfort zone. And you feel comfortable doing those things. And again, then if we step out of that and we grow, that's how we grow, which is a really special thing. And just this last week, we, I don't know, we didn't celebrate, but we acknowledged 6 years of pastoring of Calvary Chapel, that we've been pastoring full time. And I remember that afternoon 6 years ago when I went to pick up Jonathan from his last day of work at Department of Health, and he walked out of the building with a cardboard box under his arm. I could see his face wasn't, you know, quite sure. And it was a very significant time, and I remember that, and I actually grabbed my phone and took a quick picture of him, because it was a significant moment, because God had called him to do something, and he was stepping out of everything he knew that was safe into the unknown. We didn't know what challenges were to come. We didn't know, you know, how we could do the task that God had before us. But if we put our trust in God and take one step at a time, knowing that God is with us and he's before us and he's behind us, then how beautiful that is. So one way that we can know the voice of God in our life is maybe if we've been encouraged to do something that seems a little bit beyond us. We think, oh God, how could I do that? When we have to go beyond ourselves, beyond our natural abilities, we then seek the supernatural, because we can't do it on our own. We need God's divine power with us. We need to depend on God. And when he calls us to something, he will equip us. We've heard that before. When he calls us, when it's his plan, he'll equip us with that task. We don't need to ask how or why. We just need to go. That's all. God will give us the strength. He gave Moses the ability to speak, even though he didn't think he could. Jeremiah didn't need to worry about his youth. He was worried about that, but God said not to worry about that. Joshua was given whatever land his foot stepped on. God will give us the strength to handle what challenges before us. The Holy Spirit is in us. Acts 1 verse 8, all power is given unto me to be witnesses. God has given us the power and the authority that we need. And we have the opportunity to take on that challenge before us and see God's supernatural power in our lives. Amen. There's one person I want to talk about. If you could flick the next slide, or possibly the next one, Jonah. One more man to talk about tonight. In Jonah, Jonah's just a very small book of the Bible, just four chapters. And if we can read in Jonah chapter 1, in verse 1 and 2, it simply says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go. Simple, isn't it? We've heard it. Arise and go, go, go. And once again, God is saying again, arise and go. So who was Jonah? Jonah was a prophet. And he lived around 790 to 760 BC. And he was a prophet who overlapped, like his life kind of overlapped a little bit with Elisha before him, and then Amos after him. And as a prophet, he was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. And Jonah's priorities as a prophet would have been hearing from God, declaring God's messages to his people, being identified as a true prophet of God. And we do read about Jonah in one other verse in 2 Kings 14 verse 25. We hear about him. And in this verse, we find that Jonah had actually foretold good things for the Israelites. He'd said that their borders would be established. And so just by that one verse, we know that Jonah would have been popular, because he gave good news and it came to pass. He would have been highly respected as a prophet. So we simply read the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah heard the voice of God. He'd heard it before as well. But what was Jonah's response? In that next slide, Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah, he says, I want to serve God as long as it's convenient for me. I desire to do his will until it's a bit uncomfortable. I want to hear his word as long as its message is the one I'm supposed to pass on to someone else. I don't want to have my life interrupted. The next slide, please. We have a map, and you can see Joppa there. That's where Jonah was. You can see where Nineveh was. Have a look where Tarshish is. It's kind of a bit comical, isn't it? It's like he looked at a map and thought, where am I going to go? Right in the opposite direction. But sad as well. Sad as well. So Nineveh, it was the capital city of Assyria. And the people there, they enjoyed a reputation for severe cruelty, especially towards Israel. Often, sorry about this, they impaled their captives, and they sometimes wore amulets around their necks made from human heads. So they were not a very nice people to be around. And in the book of Zephaniah and Nahum, we also hear that they were an arrogant people and they were a godless people. So can we blame poor old Jonah for running away the opposite direction? So I ask you, has God been calling you to maybe a place different to where you are right now? Have you felt maybe a prompting to move in maybe a different area of ministry, to become involved in something different to what you've ever done before? Is God calling you to step out and use your talents like you never have before? Maybe it's something that you don't feel comfortable with or you'd rather not do and you just put it behind you and think, mm-mm. Do you have a Nineveh situation in your life, a hopeless place, a scary place? You know, that what is that prompting that we feel that we do push away, that we're staying a long way away from, that place that might seem impossible? You know, how can we see the hand of God working unless it's a place where only God can move? If we went somewhere where, yeah, in all our abilities and capabilities that God has blessed us with, we're able to do it. But unless we go to a place where we know we can't do it without God, that's when we see his hand moving. Remember, God's calling is a privilege. Who are the people and how can we reach them? God says, arise and go. So we need to go to a new place in him. Maybe where you've been has been perfectly fine for the last year or 5 years or 10 years. You're doing great. You know, you're doing what you need to do and it's good. But maybe you feel a bit of a stirring in your heart. Something that you're not quite sure of. I heard a quote that said, the greatest hindrance to a move of God is the last move of God. Isn't that good? You know, God can move in our lives and do amazing things, but sometimes after time, that can stop us from the next move of God because we're content and comfortable with what God has done. But we have to be careful that doesn't stop us then from going deeper and going further in God. God has used us and we've been involved in ministry and doing great, but is that all? We can't stay in a place when God has better things in store for us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Just think about that verse. For we in this room are his workmanship. God has created every one of us. And you think of a workmanship, you know, somebody builds something beautiful out of wood or something, you know, that takes their time and carves it and it's beautiful. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a plan for us. He has a plan for every one of us. So God's call to Jonah obviously was not in Jonah's plan. Rather than him say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," Jonah turned on his heels and ran the other way. That call to Nineveh was a challenge, and Jonah knew it. And we know the story. Jonah bought a ticket on a ship to sail over to Tarshish. And when he was on that ship, a great storm came. And the others on that boat, they were, you know, praying to their own gods, trying to work out why this, you know, whose fault this storm was. You know, we know the story. Afterwards, Jonah came up and, you know, they cast lots to see who was the one that, you know, it was their fault. Jonah got that short straw or however they did it. And Jonah said, "Throw me overboard." So they threw him over the ship. And immediately the storm stopped and Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. All right, so Jonah, we know, he received clear instruction from God, but he disobeyed. How have you responded to the voice of God in your life? If we're brutally honest with ourselves, and if I am here standing being very honest with you, we might have been surprised sometimes with how we have responded when we have felt God urging us to go and speak to someone. And what goes through our mind, you know, all of the excuses and, you know, "Oh no, they're too upset. I can't, you know, I'll just make them more upset." So much goes through our mind, excuses. We might have been surprised at what actually comes out of us when God calls us. Maybe you've judged that person that God is steering to you to. Maybe you think that God will send someone else. And think of Jonah. He was, you know, if a few years before, God could have sent Elisha to go to Nineveh or Amos in a few years more time, you know. Why was it Jonah? He could have said, "Oh, just wait a bit longer. There's someone else. There's another prophet that can do that job." We think there might be someone else to do it. Maybe you've been paralyzed with fear, and maybe you've been too proud to stoop that low. You know, Hannah, would you like to come here for a minute? We can pick on you because you're our niece. So you'll love me. All right, Hannah, I want you just to hold that, just with one hand. All right. Now, if Hannah's holding this glass, and if I grabbed your hand and I just started shaking it a little bit and a little bit more, no more than that, what's going to happen?
It's going to spill.
What
will come out?
Water.
Water will come out. Why does the water come out?
Because you're shaking the glass.
Correct. But not entirely correct. The water came out of this glass because there was water in the glass.
Thank you.
That wasn't too hard. So, it's true, isn't it? What is in the glass, when it gets shaken up, when it gets under a bit of stress, what is in the glass is going to come out of the glass. So what's our reaction when God is using us, when he's stirring our lives and things feel uncomfortable and, you know, oh, what's happening? I'm not quite sure what's happening with my job, or, you know, I don't know what's happening in this situation with my family or my friends, and things feel unsure. At those times, what is in our heart is going to come out. When God puts us in that uncomfortable or challenging situation, what comes out? I think I've skipped through a couple of slides. Thank you. What comes out of our lives? Maybe panic comes out of our life. Distrust, uncertainty, fear, anger, or resentment. What comes out of our hearts is what is inside. So Jonah was a prophet of God, a mighty man of God who heard God's voice and spoke to God's people. I'm sure Jonah didn't really realize what he was capable of until God put him in that challenging position. If our lives seem to be shaky right now, maybe it's so that we can see what is in our hearts. What work has God got to do in our hearts? Jonah heard the voice of God and he disobeyed. And that was a very slippery slope for Jonah. God sent that fish to Jonah. The Bible says he sent the fish. That fish called grace. That's what it was. His life was saved because of that fish. Jonah would have drowned if it wasn't for that fish. God preserved Jonah so that his will could still be accomplished. Now, I don't know, I read that scholars believe that when the fish spat Jonah out again, because of the repetitive part of the scripture that goes on to, they believe that it was back at the beginning of where Jonah was, at Joppa. God dealt with Jonah's heart. He prayed to God inside that fish and God changed him. And he would have looked different. He spent 3 days inside that fish. It's believed he may have no hair after that time, and that his skin would have been bleached after that time. He looked different, but there was such a greater difference in Jonah. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, I think it's the next scripture, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." So this is after Jonah's been in the fish and the fish spat him out onto the dry land again. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." There was a change in Jonah's heart. So what's our reaction to God calling us? What stops us from stepping into that plan that God has for us? Maybe, and very often, it can be self-doubt. You know, we can listen to so many different voices in our life that tell us that we can't do things, that we're not able to do things. Why would God use you like that? But why should we listen to those voices above the voice of God? God is the one who created us. We're his workmanship. He created us for good works. His voice is the one that we should listen to. And it's hard to get rid of those voices from our past or from family or friends or whoever it is, those negative voices in our lives. But we need to trust God that he knows exactly what he's doing. Maybe you think it's just not your personality. You know, doing this right now is not my personality. I promise you that. Maybe we think that there's someone better than us for the job. We make excuses. God, this is not in my plan. How can I do this, God? I've got young children. I've got other things to tend to. I've got my work and these things. It doesn't fit into my life right now. We make excuses. It's out of our comfort zone. We're too scared. We're full of fear. But the best thing that could happen to us at this time is that we're caught by that fish called grace, that God would give every one of us a second chance. If God's given you a dream in the past, but there have been hindrances to that fulfillment of that dream, God wants you to know that He's still calling you and that there is still a need. We know in Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence, God? He's calling us. There's an old, I think it's an American back hundreds of years ago, man who wrote a poem. I read a bit of the poem, but it's in like very old English and a bit hard to understand, but it's called The Hound of Heaven. And just the title of that poem, to the image that creates, that God seeks us. He won't give up. He's the hound of heaven coming after us. He gives us grace. He gives us a second chance. You know, just like Paul, we can all say, I can say, I am chief of all sinners. Like Peter, I can say, you know, that he didn't often boldly declare the word of God. We can say we are Samuel, who hears the voice of God but isn't quite sure it's God and God has to call again and again. And we can say, I am Jonah, who hears the voice of God very clearly but turns and runs in that opposite direction. You know, these next few weeks, we mentioned we can get caught up in that celebration of Jesus' birth. And, you know, there's lots of things to do, it's a busy time. But Jesus is calling us at this time because the world may be slightly more sensitive to this time of Christmas. You know, it's a Christian celebration. We need to keep our eyes on what Jesus has for us. You know, He came to seek and save the lost. And if you have experienced God's saving power, you know, His mercy found you. And there's no one too far who God can't reach, you know. So tonight, you know, if you want to take just a bit of time, maybe you need God's Spirit again in you, calling you and leading you. Maybe you need a bit of a revitalization of that dream that God once gave you, that plan that God has put in your heart. Maybe you need a bit of courage tonight to step out and say, yes, God, I will go. A holy boldness. What is that next step that God has for you? Don't run from it and don't turn your back on it like Jonah did. Walk in faith. You know, God gives us a second chance. Like I said, He's before us, He's beside us, and He's behind us. You know, we cannot fail when God is with us. So right now, we're just going to sing a song together, but this is a Christmas season to be more than any time of the year, and we should all year, but particularly these next few weeks, how can we be the hands and feet of Jesus? How can we show that love that He came to give so freely to someone? Someone. Don't be too busy. Don't think that there'll be another time to speak to that person or another time to do that thing. Step out with boldness. You know, God is with us. He will not leave us. Amen. If we can stand and sing, there's a song and it's an old song. It just says, turn your eyes unto Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth, all the busyness, the difficulties, everything that's clouding our vision, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's such a simple song, but such a beautiful song. And if you just want to worship God, just make that declaration that, God, You are calling me and I will respond. I will respond when You call. Amen. Let's worship.